This morning we continue with a series called Up Next. We began this series after Easter, considering in Easter, that Easter holiday that we celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus, new life that we have been given. And then we ask the question, what comes after that? So we know we have new life in Jesus. Now what? What's up next? And so we've been looking at that over the past few weeks, and we've been looking at that in ways that show us that it's a little bit different for each one of us, because that up next moment in faith is kind of unique for each one of us, no matter where we're at. That all of us are at a different point in our journey of our walk in faith with God, and so what that up next moment might look like for you is different than what it looks like for me, is different than what it looks like for everyone else here. So we've been considering what that means without me being able to give you a step-by-step response, because each one of us has something different. But there are some guidelines that we're pulling out of Scripture here that help us think about what it means for each one of us to take that next step in our journey of faith, whatever that looks like, wherever that goes. So we've talked about that in a few different ways, right? We've talked about how sometimes when we look at our life of faith and we think about what's coming next, sometimes all I can see is the next step. And sometimes I want to see the whole picture, right? I want to see everything laid out before I take that next step, but sometimes we don't get that, do we? Sometimes all God gives us is enough vision and enough clarity just to see what I have to do next. And then when I get there, God will reveal the next step, and on it goes. So sometimes we're held back from that up next moment because I want to see the whole thing first. And we talked about that. We talked about what it means sometimes to have barriers or obstacles in your way. That maybe I can see something of where my faith can go next, but I see an obstacle or a barrier that keeps me from getting there. And often we pointed out that those are obstacles that we make ourselves. It's our own fears that put those barriers in our way, that we are afraid to take that next step. We've talked about that. And in each one of these ways that we talk about what comes next, we've been asking a question. There's a nagging question that comes back. So what holds you back, right? What is getting in your way? What is stopping you from moving forward in your faith? So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that today. What it means then to have that up next moment in your faith, and what that looks like, and what it is that sometimes holds us back from doing that. Today we're going to look at a passage that comes from the end of the Gospel of John, and we actually heard the beginning of this passage a few weeks ago when our youth director Luke Keurig was here to present a message. He talked about that story that comes from John 21, a miraculous catch of fish. Right, this is from the Gospel of John, and it comes after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. So these are stories in the end of John's Gospel where Jesus is now appearing to his disciples after he has been raised from the dead. And then we heard that story about the disciples who go out to fish in the night and don't catch anything. And early in the morning, they see someone standing on the shore who says, "Throw your nets on the other side of the boat." And they do that, and all of a sudden, they haul in this huge catch of fish. And then it's John who recognizes, hey, that's Jesus. And it's Peter who jumps out of the boat right there and swims ashore to go see Jesus. That was the story that we heard several weeks ago when Luke was here to preach. Now today I want to pick that up right from where that left off, from John 21. So the disciples gather on shore there. Jesus has this little breakfast all prepared for them, some fish and some bread. They have breakfast together. And then Jesus and Peter pull away and the two of them just have a one-on-one conversation. So a few short verses today. This is from John 21, and I am going to pick this up at verse 15, where it says this. So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this conversation that takes place, back and forth, just Peter and Jesus, you know, it's a brief conversation. It happens quickly, but there's so much that's tying together in this one moment. At three times, Jesus has to ask the same question that comes to Peter. Three times he repeats it, even though Peter gives him the same answer all three times, and even though Jesus gives the same reply all three times. But there is a moment in here where John is capturing this conversation because he's drawing our attention back to something that happened before. See, this is, as I said, this is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And it's one of the few times now when Jesus has appeared to his disciples. This could be one of the first moments, we don't know for sure, but could be one of the first moments since the resurrection where Jesus and Peter kind of peel off for this one-on-one conversation. And the last time that Jesus and Peter were in kind of close proximity like that before Jesus died was on that night when Jesus was betrayed, right, when they fled the garden. When Peter followed along at a distance and Jesus was arrested and taken to the house of the high priest. Now, houses then were laid out with kind of an open plan with a big courtyard in the middle. So Jesus is on trial at the house of the high priest in this big open courtyard. Peter is on one end of that courtyard, kind of warming himself by a fire there. And it's in that moment where those others around the fire kind of identify Peter and they say, hey, you, I recognize you. You were with him. You're with Jesus, aren't you? Three times Peter denies that. I don't know that guy. I've got nothing to do with him. I've never seen him before. Three times Peter denies ever knowing or have anything to do with Jesus. That's got to be burned in his memory. He's still got to be holding on to that memory. I think so. That Peter has not let that one go yet. Because it's not as though in the Gospels that Peter just kind of shrugs that off and walks away. Yep, I don't know the guy, whatever, and strolls out of there. No, the Bible tells us that after that third time when he denies him, that Jesus looks at him from across the courtyard. Peter recognizes what it is that he's done. He remembers, wait a minute, Jesus actually predicted this. He told me this was going to happen. I emphatically denied it. I protested. I said, no, I will not do that. But here it is. And Peter runs out of there, weeping bitterly. That's got to etch in his mind, that he remembers that moment. Now Jesus comes at this breakfast conversation and he asks him three times, so Peter, do you love me? He's bringing that back up again, right? Not in so many words, but he's drawing attention to that moment. He's bringing that back to mind again, the three times when Peter denied having anything to do with him. And he brings it back again. And he does that in ways that grab his attention. So he asks the question that's there. Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And three times it brings through that connection with Peter's denial. You see, there are other questions that maybe Peter had in his mind. Maybe. Peter, maybe at that moment where he's bringing back those memories of how he denied Jesus, maybe there are other questions that are burning through him, questions that he's thinking might count him out, might disqualify him from continuing on as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. But these are not questions that Jesus asks, right? Jesus does not ask the question, all right, Peter, so are you smart enough? Right? Have you got what it takes to do this? Peter does not ask questions about, so do you know your scriptures? Do you know your Bible? Do you know what it means to be a follower of the rabbi? Because I've been teaching you all these things. Jesus does not ask him that. Jesus does not bring up his personal qualifications. So are you good enough? Are you a good enough person to take this on? What do you think? You faltered in the moment where maybe you could have stood up and shined the most. He does not ask him, so what are you contributing here? Do you have anything worthwhile to give to this or not? He does not ask him, where is your faith at? Are you strong enough? These are not questions that Jesus is asking of Peter in that moment. But Peter, I wonder if Peter has these things in his mind. I blew it. There was an opportunity before me to show the rabbi, the master, how dedicated I was, how strong my faith is, and I blew it. I dropped it. And now I cannot continue in that. Now there's nothing there for me. Now I'm out. Now I'm not good enough anymore. Right? Now I don't have anything worthwhile to contribute to this. My faith has not been shown to be strong enough to be a follower of Jesus. I'm out. There are no more steps forward for me. I'm done. Perhaps it is those very questions that drove Peter to go back to fishing in the first place. Right? That he was the one who said to the other disciples, hey, let's grab a boat. Let's go out fishing. Let's go back to the old job. The things that we used to do before Jesus, because now I'm out. I've got nowhere else to go in my faith. I've got nowhere else to go in following Jesus. I'm just going to turn back and do what I did before. Peter may have had these questions burning over and over again in the back of his mind, but that's not what Jesus asks him. And what is that for us? Right? How often do we flip those questions over and over again as well? That we ask those same things. When we think about what it is our faith could do next, that next step moment that might be in your life, whatever that may be, how often do you think about whatever it is that God puts in front of you as a possibility for where you could go or what you could do next, and you think about what that could be, and then you take a pause and think, wait a minute, I don't know. You know, I don't know that I'm really ready for whatever that next step is. I don't know that I really know my Bible well enough to take my faith to that kind of a level. I don't know that I've really been a good enough person. I've made too many mistakes in my past. I don't think it could ever work out that way. I'm just not sure I really have anything valuable to contribute to this. I'm not sure I'm strong enough for that. I'm not sure I'm up to that. Those are questions that often when we think about those giant leaps forward in our faith, that sometimes those things trip us up, don't they? That we flip around with those questions too. I just don't know that I can do that. I don't know that that's me. And so we're getting hung up on those questions. But Jesus is not asking those questions. Jesus comes to Peter with one question, just one. So do you love me? Peter comes in that moment, and he's reminded by Jesus that love is the foundation. And Peter answers him three times. He knows that Jesus can see right through him. I believe his answer there is true, right? That he's not making it up, he's not lying. Yes, Jesus, I do love you. I know I've fallen short, I know I've made mistakes, I know that I've blown it from time to time, but I do love you. And that's all that Jesus is asking. That's the only question that he's putting out there. He's reminding Peter that this entire business of following him and stepping forward in faith is on a foundation of love. That there is a connection, a unity of love that takes place between Jesus and those who follow him. That love then becomes the only measurement that's used for having faith in Jesus. It's a love, you see, that begins with God himself. Right, a love that God first gives for us, and a love that we echo in response. It's a question that comes then in a personal way, that it's a personal question. Do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. A personal question that comes for each one of us, that God loves you, that Jesus loves you. It's personal that way. It doesn't come in the form of anything that says, well, Jesus loves the church or churches. It doesn't come in a way that says Jesus loves religion. It doesn't come in a way that says Jesus loves ministry. Now, God uses all of these things. He uses these things, but the question comes personally. that Jesus loves you. And he calls you in that love. He calls Peter in that love, and he reinstates him to his position as an apostle, as a disciple. He hands him that backstage, all-inclusive pass and brings him right to the front of the line. Peter, who thought he was out, I'm done, it's over, that Jesus reminds him, but wait, love is what matters here. And it's my love for you that can never be taken or shaken or destroyed. That's the foundation that your faith is built upon. That is where your faith comes from. Not any of these other things. It's the one question that he brings him. And so the response then that comes, the response to that question that comes to him. Three times he asks the question, do you love me? Three times Peter answers, yes, you know I love you. And three times, each one of those times, Jesus responds with some form of feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, care for the flock. That he gives something of an action step that follows that, right? That love then, the way that Jesus is describing in this conversation, love is something that follows up with some kind of a responsibility. That there is a call for action that comes with that. That love comes in that way to us, with a responsibility and a call to action that is placed before Peter there. That love works in that way. Think of it this way. I have a love that I have with my family, with my spouse and with my children, and with extended family beyond that. And that is a love that comes with something of a responsibility that shows up in action, that we do things to care for one another. And we do those things not because it's a job that I'm being paid for, not because it's necessarily an obligation for every single one of those, but those are actions of love that I take on a responsibility for, that we together take on a responsibility for within our family because of love. That the love that we share is a love that carries a responsibility, and in that responsibility, there are actions that we are called to within that. Not as obligations, not because it's forced, but because we love one another and the bond of love that we share motivates and drives that action to take place. The response that Jesus gives to Peter reminds us of that. Reminds us that we have a faith in God that is built upon a foundation of love. And that foundation of love that we have with God is a foundation that drives us to a responsibility. It is a call to action, not an obligation, but a response of love, of gratitude. You see, God did not create human beings as remote control robots. Right? It's not that God directs and dictates every single moment of our lives in ways that we have no option or control over whatsoever. That God has created human beings with a free will for him. And he gives us then the opportunity within that to move within that freedom, to respond to his love for us and echoing our love for him. That he gives us that response. A response that we can have, motivated then by love, not an obligation. That next step forward in faith then has a springboard of love. That when we think about what it is that God might be placing in front of me for whatever it is that's next in my journey of faith, and I think about what that might be, and I think about how I might get there, that I need to catch myself asking the question, but wait a minute, is this something that I see as the next thing in my life because it's an obligation? I feel like I have to do this. It's an obligation. I don't know that I want to, but I'm really supposed to. Or do I look at that next step of faith, whatever that may be, and look at that as something that has a springboard of love, that there is a genuine sense of desire behind that to follow God in that way? And as we do that, what does the outcome look like? You know, what happens as a response to that? That a response of love is something that comes to us personally, right? Jesus asks that question as a personal question. Do you love me? It's a reminder that we have a relationship, a bond with God that is sealed in his love. And Jesus brings that personally to us. It is received personally. And in that, we own it. That we own that relationship, that identity, that God has claimed that for us. It becomes a part of who we are, that faith that he has given to us. That we can say as an outcome of that, that I own it. Right? This is part of who I am. This is a part of my life. It's not anything that anybody else gave to me by that way. It's not anything that has been forced upon me in any way, but God has imprinted that upon me as a bond of love, and it's something that I now own as a part of my personality. That I take that step of faith forward because I own that. But really, it comes one step further than that, right? Because we say, when we talk about things that we own personally, in our catechism and in our doctrines, we begin our Heidelberg Catechism with a very personal question that way as well, in which we declare, I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus. So when it comes to owning my faith, the question of ownership is actually one that is shared, right? That I can own that next step of faith because God is the one who owns me. When I think about whatever that next step might be, when I think about where my life of faith goes with God, and I think about all the ways that that could go maybe wrong. What if I fail? What if I mess up? What if I don't do it right? What if I'm not good enough? All those questions that come back, right? That maybe it's good today to remind ourselves, wait a minute. There was one question. Remember? One question where God is reminding you, but wait, I love you. Remember, you are not your own. You belong to Jesus. And I can take that next step of faith because God is the one who owns me. I can own that. I can make that something that I can do. That up next moment then is not something that I do alone, but it's something that I do with God. We're reminded about this in other places of Scripture as well. Jesus talked about this in his call to action that he gave to the disciples. This comes from John chapter 15, where Jesus tells his disciples this, and John writes this. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. A reminder that God owns us so we can own that next step. The Apostle Paul also writes about this in Romans chapter 8, where Paul writes this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Co-heirs with Christ. That the faith that I have, the next step that's there before me, where it is for God that God has for me to go next, that is given to me as a gift to do with Jesus. That I share in the family of God that way. That my up next moment then is not mine to take alone. But Jesus, in his love, holds my faith secure every step of the way. Because nothing separates us from the love of God. It's time to own that. You know, like many of you, I grew up in a house where I had Christian parents. So I learned about the Bible at a young age. I learned what it meant for Jesus who died and rose again for me at a young age. And at a young age, you learn those things that your parents teach you, and it's sort of something that you're taught along the way. But there comes a point in life, as it has for many of you and as it has for me as well, there comes a point in life where I had to ask the question, wait a minute, is this something that I believe just because mom and dad told me so? Or do I really believe this? Am I going to own this? Own it as a faith that God has given to me, not because someone else told me so, but because I accept it, because I want that faith to grow in me. You have that moment to own it, to make it yours, to take that step. And the reminder today, the reminder of all those other questions that get in the way, that try to steer us off track, that goes back to that one question that matters most. Loving God. That God loves me in an unshakable way. And on that foundation of love that we have, that Jesus holds my faith secure every step of the way. He holds you in his hand, unshakably in his hand, in every step of faith that you make, reminding us of his foundation of love. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your word that comes to us today. Thank you that you remind us of your great love for us. God, we confess and we know that we put a lot of other questions in the way, that sometimes we have backed away from taking that next step of faith because we've thought we weren't good enough, that we weren't ready, that we don't have anything worthwhile to contribute. God, thank you for reminding us today that you don't ask us those questions. And help us then to see the one thing that matters most, the relationship of love that you have extended to us, and that you hold our faith secure within that. And then give us the strength then to follow you as you go ahead of us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you please stand?